The following Dharma talk was given at Boundless Way Temple in Worcester, Massachusetts. The temple is an affiliate of Boundless Way Zen, a multi-lineage school of Zen Buddhism.
So the koan this evening is from the miscellaneous koan collection of the Pacific Zen Institute, which is our, we might say, our cousin organization. John Tarrant is the founder and leader there. And, of course, John Tarrant, one of the teachers of James Ford, and so Melissa's and my grandfather teacher, a wonderful koan master who delights in a kind of playfulness and irreverence. He's a wonderful writer and a wonderful Zen spirit. So this is a little story either from the great teacher Dongshan, the Chinese, one of the founders of the Zhao Dong or the Soto school in China, or maybe even about him, but here's the story. Two friends were washing their bowls in a creek, and they saw two crows fighting over a frog. One friend asked, "Why does it always have to be like that?" The other friend replied, "It's only for your benefit, honored one." Two friends were washing their bowls in a creek, and they saw two crows fighting over a frog. One friend asked, "Why does it always have to be like that?" The other friend replied, "It's only for your benefit, honored one." I just heard this for the first time several months ago when Melissa brought it forward, and quite a lovely story, and so sweet in some way, this image, two friends washing their bowls by the creek, and I immediately go into how wonderful it is to be outdoors, and maybe the sound of the water going through the creek, and maybe after a long day of Zazen or a day of wandering, they're there together. Quite a pleasure to be with a friend outdoors, and I imagine it's a pleasant evening. And then, of course, as in nature, if we spend any time at all, we see it's not like the Sierra Club poster. It's not like those beautiful pictures we see. There are mosquitoes and bugs, and there is life and death constantly, everywhere. And of course, we all make these images of nature. And in fact, Zen is quite prone to these wonderful images of nature. And partly through the Chinese tradition of appreciation of nature and some astonishing poetry from quite long ago in China. And yet in China, most of this love of nature was centered in the cities, not so much the farmers writing the poetry. They're busy living. Shoveling shit and growing the vegetables. But nature comes to occupy this special place for those of us that are quite far apart from it. And for me, walking in the woods or having the opportunity to go camp out or go on a canoe trip, so wonderful. And yet, how can we appreciate nature in its fullness? This morning we were talking in the Dharma dialogue. One of you mentioned how wonderful the sun is and how freely the sun gives its light. And then someone else also mentioned that, yes, and we need to put on our sunscreen. If we're not careful, this great free gift fries us. And so there you are, there we are, in the middle of a nice evening with a friend, two crows fighting over a frog. And life and death appear, and the bloody mess of real life. And often for us this comes as a disturbance. I was just getting into my meditation and then I had this disturbing thought. Or then someone said something that upset me. In the middle of our nice reverie, life intrudes. And so one friend says, why does it always have to be like that? An interesting thing to say, and I immediately catch on the words why and always. I am always suspicious of the use of the word always, because I have actually never found it to be true. But there are things that occur, and it brings up that sense for us. Why am I always feeling like this? Why do you always say that to me? And always is a tip-off that we are lost in our construction of reality. Since reality is never always, never constant, you are never always the same person. You are always never the same person. You are always, always the same person. You are never, never. Well, so much for Nagarjuna. But when we fall into always, Melissa and I sometimes say that we're we are in a realm. And a realm is a place all of us go to when we're shutting down. And it's a place, in a sense, where we fall into our story, and our story is perfectly self-confirming. And so we circle round and round, and everywhere we look, we find confirmation. Why do people always leave me? Why does no one ever trust me? Why do I always mess things up? Any of these statements, then we can look around and then we can find examples in our life, and we say, see, it's true, and it's happened one more time. These realms are quite challenging to be in. A friend of ours says that they are autistic, in the sense that once we are in that place, there is no information that comes in or goes out. So when your friend, your partner, falls into a realm, no matter how hard you try to convince them that the world is otherwise, it does very little good. And when you are in a realm, to try to fight your way out, to try to reason your way out, rarely helps. But these realms, like all of life, we say are self-releasing. At some point, you are released from the realm. It's a kind of possession, almost like you are grabbed. We are grabbed by the neck and dragged into the underworld. And there we are one more time. in the exact place we most hate, most struggle against, and yet in some way the place we believe is most true. There's great faith in these realms, in the reality of it, when we're caught up in it, and then we're released one more time. So part of the wisdom about being in these places of discouragement and despair is to do the best you can not to harm others or harm yourself. Sometimes the most we can do is have some sense, here I am discouraged again. Here I am feeling wildly alone. Here I am feeling burning with anxiety. Whatever it is, fear, anger, longing or wanting. So we go to these realms, we are taken to these realms whether we want to go or not. And the other teaching about these realms, aside from having some awareness, well, I can't get out, but here I am, is to actually see if it's possible to be curious, maybe just a little curious. What is there here I've never noticed before? To actually look into our experience in the moment. So this, why does it always have to be like this? Why is there always something that spoils the evening? Why is there always conflict? Why is there always life and death? And then the wonderful response of the friend to turn it around and suggest some new way to be caught. He said, it is only for your benefit, honored one. And for me, this is quite different than the thing we sometimes get. Well, this is a lesson for you. And until you learn this lesson, you're going to... I don't hear any of that condemnation. But rather this possibility that our karma is not our problem. Uchiyama Roshi, who we read a short passage from tonight, said, everything you encounter is your life. Everything you encounter is your karma. And your only life, no possibility of exchange. You cannot have another life, but you can have this one. It is only for your benefit. The world is kindly bent to ease us. Each situation, each moment possesses everything you need to wake up, honored one. Two friends were washing their bowls in a creek, and they saw two crows fighting over a frog. One friend asked, "Why does it always have to be like that?" The other friend replied, "It's only for your benefit, honored one."